I'm just sitting here feeling us kind of all gathered in this hall together and feeling how nice that is. And I invite you to take a moment and feel into that. And there's something lovely about people gathering for, something very wholesome. It could be something else too, but this happens to be this. And I think I've mentioned this before. We can intentionally feel into this sense of sangha and really let it buoy us and brighten our mind and our heart a little bit. Sometimes we have to intentionally kind of lean into it and notice it to kind of raise the grain, one might say, a little bit. But it's here. We've spent these days together, and this sense of community, and again, not just community, but wholesome community. 90-plus people really practicing fairly strong renunciation, and including the commitment to live by the training guidelines, the five precepts. That imbues the sense of sangha with something very lovely. And again, we can feel into that and appreciate it and appreciate ourselves for being part of it. Each of you is a part, of the whole. That's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. It was just kind of there, so I wanted to name it. As you've, I'm sure, noticed, the meditation instructions that we've been giving you are somewhat progressive, right? Kind of adding more and more. And I'm going to continue with that this evening. And I want to talk just a moment about meditation being both what's called a science and an art. So the science of meditation is do this, do that, then do this. There's five hindrances, there's this. There's like a kind of a map. There's a signposts guiding our way, and it's fairly clear actually on some levels. You may not think so, but there's definitely a roadmap. So that's kind of the science of it. And then there's the art of it, and which is no one can really tell you that or show you that, right? Just like if anyone is any kind of an artist here, whether it's music artists or visual artists or right, any kind of that. People can talk about it, but you had to just figure it out, right? You had to figure out how to play that note or how to draw or whatever kind of artist you are. Movement artist. People can talk to you about how to dance, but you had to actually move your body and do it to get it. So it's the same with meditation. There's a fairly large part of it that is an art that we have to kind of figure out, feel into, grow into on our own. And part of what I'm going to talk about tonight is both yet another meditation technique, but also a little bit about like the art of using it, and that will become clearer as I go into it. Up until now, we've given instructions on using a primary anchor, right? Body, breath, sounds, perhaps, and the encouragement to yes, we can have a secondary anchor and we can move sometimes, but really the encouragement to have a home base. Really find a place you call home that you direct your attention to and that you return it to after the attention's wandered off. And we've developed that, and then we've slowly included really all experience that can be known by a human being into our meditation. When that's arisen, the instructions are to meet that experience wholeheartedly, kindly, folded in, etc. And then, as all things must do, when that experience passes, or when we're just kind of tired of being with that experience, such as ongoing physical pain in the body, then the instruction is go back to the anchor. So when the experience has passed and gone, or when we're just don't want to be with it anymore, then we move back to the anchor. There's a way that we can meditate, though, without an anchor. We actually don't direct our attention anywhere. We don't, you could say, like, favor one experience over another. And this type of meditating is called choiceless awareness, which, you got it, right? We don't choose where the awareness is going to go. We don't direct it. Sometimes there's another distinction you might hear, the difference between directed and undirected meditation. That's another way of kind of differentiating it. So we don't direct our attention anywhere. We don't be exclusive with our attention to any one particular object. Now, the art is, part of the art is just doing this technique. It takes a while to get the hang of it. And then the other art, and I'll talk more about that in a moment, is seamlessly moving back and forth between being with an anchor and not being with an anchor. It's a very fluid, like within one sitting, you could go back and forth a dozen times, depending on what the situation calls for. But first, just the art of doing choiceless awareness. We're used to, when we're working with an anchor, we're used to directing our attention to something. And then we go, okay, we're not going to do that. And what can, it was very easy to happen is, we go looking for something to pay attention to. It's like, well, what should I pay attention to? And we're ahead of ourselves. We're looking. We're out there grabbing. And that's not how we want to do it. It's not however we want to meditate, regardless of what technique we're using. We always want to, I think Matthew was talking about settling back, how Joseph said settle back. That's the attitude we want. We want experience to come to us. I can't believe I've forgotten to do this. I always like to do this during a retreat. It's a little late. But why don't you just bring your attention to the present moment, and I'm going to ring the bell. And I want you to just get this sense of receiving the sound. Like, notice how you don't have to try hard and notice it. You can really be settled back and relaxed. It's just coming to you. You don't have to reach out for it, do you? Really settle back. Even, again, use the body to train the mind. Relax the body. Open the upper chest area. Really, literally relax back. And just let the sound come to you. Sound is a great way to get the sense of what we're pointing to when we say relax back and receive experience. Yeah, it's quite easy to do with sound. And that then becomes kind of your benchmark for how you want to know all other experience, thoughts, body sensations, emotions, anything that we can know, smells, sights, this sense of being relaxed back. And absolutely, with choiceless awareness, we want to really kind of employ this technique. Really, we check a lot when we're doing choiceless awareness. So, am I relaxed back? Am I letting experience, however it's manifesting, come to me? Because again, the tendency will be to start looking for something to pay attention to. One thing to mention is when we do choiceless awareness, no, we're not directing our attention specifically to our anchor, nor are we exiling, though, the anchor. We're not like, must not feel that or hear that, or right? Sometimes, if it's really quiet, there's not a lot of thought, etc., guess what you're going to be noticing? Your anchor. Why? Because it's omnipresent. We pick an anchor that is omnipresent, so we're not ever without it. So if life is pretty chilled out at the moment and it's not dishing up much to you, chances are it is that you'll be noticing your anchor. And that's fine in choiceless awareness. That's not a problem. We just don't kind of hold on to or have the intention to be exclusive with our attention to it. Is that? Yeah, so we're not exiling it. It can be noticed. It's fine. When do we know, or when do we do choiceless awareness, and when do we work with an anchor? That's the $100,000 question. Generally, if the mind is a bit scattered and you're going, yeah, well, but that's all the time, right? Meaning, you know what your generally what your baseline is. So if we say it's scattered, like more than usual, then that's a good time to be with one object. That's maybe not the time to be with changing objects and be open awareness. It tends to be a little bit easier to get lost in experience in choiceless awareness. So for wanting to really work on that kind of side of the enlightenment factors of calm and concentration, probably best to use a single object. Does it mean we can't induce and cultivate calm and concentration with different and changing objects? No. It doesn't mean that. It just means it's easier to do it with a single object. So you hear, one hears, well, if the mind's not too settled, then, you know, use a single object more. So that means when the mind is settled, then perhaps try choiceless awareness some. Yeah, perhaps, but then we also might think, oh, choiceless awareness is the high bar. You know, when I really get good, that's what I'll do. And when I'm doing choiceless awareness, whoa, right? Don't latch onto that one. It's not what's best, it's what's skillful, you know? Whether it's how we're doing the walking meditation to how we're meditating, right? You've heard us say, it's what's skillful. What's going to be best to hold the attention and to cultivate mindfulness with? Sometimes that will be choiceless awareness. And the mind has its moods too. So we can say, you know, we can kind of have discrete things. Oh, when you're more distracted, then you want to work with an anchor. When you're less, you work with like very clear cut. But also the mind has its moods. Sometimes, and I'll get this, maybe just settle down to be with the anchor, and the mind's just like, oh, no, too confining. Ah, oh, it's too small in here. Ah, that's it. That's where I want to be. Or vice versa. Sometimes choiceless awareness can be a little bit like this is a little scary or a little floaty. I don't really like this. One object, home. Okay, I'm here. Good, all right. So the mind's going to have its moods, and if you tune into those, that can also kind of help you get a sense of, do you want to be more, the attention more like this or like this? I heard this, I didn't make this up, so I heard, I was on retreat here in this hall, and the teacher who was teaching said, if I were to stand up and walk up and down these aisles during the meditation, and all of a sudden I just tap you on the shoulder, right at that moment you should be able to tell me which one you're doing. So we want to have clarity about how we're meditating, not kind of like drifting. Yes, we can absolutely flow between the two, between using an anchor and not using an anchor. We want to flow. That's the art. But we still want to be clear about which one we're doing at any given time. Meditating with one object, with the anchor, helps to calm and settle the mind. Meditating with changing objects and choiceless awareness helps us to see the truth of change. That's one of the benefits of doing choiceless awareness. When we really kind of get into the flow of that, we see stuff, just what's calling our attention changes, and sometimes quite rapidly, sometimes not. It's very good technique to help us see the truth of change, to experience it, not just hear about it, but actually see it happening. How do I know what to pay attention to when I'm doing choiceless awareness? All right, that's the proverbial question. And the answer is, again, here's the science. The answer is you pay attention to what's calling your experience. And then the art is to know what's calling my experience without going out and looking. So if you're meditating, you're doing choiceless awareness, that one's easy, right? Then you would let your attention go to that object until it's faded. And then you don't necessarily go back to the anchor. You just, not, but back. And like I said, maybe nothing much is happening. So like right now, my left leg's kind of falling asleep. That's kind of my strongest experience right now. So I hang out with that, like, okay. Now all of a sudden I notice I'm just speaking my experience now, as I might do if I was meditating. Now I notice I'm seeing, now a little mind state or something is like, they're all looking at me. I'm a little, that's come up. So mind states will come up and call our attention. Now I notice, some ease. I know some my chest just, because you all laughed. It was like, it's going to be okay. It's like, okay. And now my leg just kind of called. So this is how we meditate with choiceless awareness. We just let it come, be really honest with ourselves about what's happening, what we're feeling. You know, we've talked about thoughts and emotions, and Matthew spoke so beautifully about, can we just befriend everything? It's okay. And with choiceless awareness, it's kind of like, okay, in terms of what goes through the mind. And as we do this, we start to develop equanimity. Now this, now that, now that, now that. It's like whatever. And we start to develop equanimity with what arises in our heart and mind and in our experience in general. It's like the okayness, our okayness factor rises, it goes up. It's like, it's okay. Joseph Goldstein's secret mantra is, it's okay. And we start to experience that it's okay. I'm flooded with murderous rage. It's okay. One time right in this hall, during a 3-month retreat, in the question and answer time, you know, after the morning instructions, a yogi raised their hand and they were going on and on and on about the murderous rage they were noticing in their mind. And it was kind of clear, you know, they were pretty caught in it and pretty identified with it, like, this is not good, you know. So the teacher let them go on for a little while, and then when they were finished, the teacher just went, it was perfect timing, he just paused and went, it's just murderous rage. What's the problem? It's like that wisdom just... And we can get to know that. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. It arose dependent on conditions. It arises and it passes away. Acting on it, that's another thing. Which is where then the precepts come in. Oh, absolutely. That's what they're for. But the fact that it arises in the mind, really not a problem at all. There's nothing that arises in your mind that's problematic in and of itself. We can make it a problem by thinking it shouldn't be there, which means we're identifying with it. Oh, I'm that person having that thought. I'm a murderous rage person. That means something about me. Then it's problematic. But just what it is, remember the wispy, it's just wispy thoughts. So doing choiceless awareness is very helpful in starting to just get more and more okay as life just presents itself to us. We can start to disidentify more and more with what's happening. It's not the high bar, though. It's what to use when it's skillful. Just like working with an anchor is what we want to use when it's skillful. When to know which is which, that's the art. Okay, let's come to standing just to stretch for a bit. I'm not going to do the thing with you, so don't worry. The Buddha said, movement masks dukkha. Meaning when we keep these bodies still, we see how we kind of see their nature. That they get very achy and difficult. We have to keep moving them in order to kind of keep ahead of this. But actually when we get old, then it gets even harder, right? This morning I got out of bed and I was just stiff. It's like, wow, it's that time of life. I get out of bed in the morning and I'm stiff for no reason.
Being on the retreat gives us a little glimpse into the kind of the nature of the body.
I'll guide us just for a couple minutes with a few prompts around using an anchor and then not using an anchor, and then we'll sit in silence. My suggestion would be that even if one knew they were wanted to do choiceless awareness for a sitting period, that you still take a few moments to ground in the body first. Just arrive embodied. Use conscious relaxation of the body to draw your attention to and in the body. And with your attention in the body, very natural to connect with the anchors of body sitting or body breathing. So we can have this sense of the attention being settled on an object, kind of in one place, you might say. Home. And then we can try consciously letting go of this object, opening the attention, settling back, and just seeing what life presents to us. I'm hearing the fan. Feeling my body. Feeling a breath. Don't strain. Don't lean forward and look for experience. Stay settled back. Let it come to you. We practice with choiceless awareness when we wake up from being lost in thought. We have the choice. We can reconnect with the anchor for a moment and then open up, or we can just wake up and notice what's present. There's nothing you're supposed to be noticing. Sometimes the attention will land on something and stay there. My attention's been with the sound of the fan, the air system. It's kind of feels pleasant to me, and it just kind of wants to stay there. And then for some reason I started to notice I was breathing. And again, that's fine. We don't exile the anchor. If you get confused about what you're supposed to be doing, anytime you notice that, go back to your anchor. Being with your anchor is always an okay thing to do. And don't forget, one of the experiences you might notice is enjoying being present. We have a walking period and then 9 o'clock chanting and the last group sit.